All right. I think, well, okay, we are, I know, we are in the Colossians study, lesson 15, and we are going over Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, and I think we're basically on the supplemental questions. I think we got to that, which I think, were they numbered 11, 12, and 13 on your supplementals? Or
12, 13.
12, 13, 14. Maybe that's right. I don't think we got to question 12, did we? Did we get 12? I don't think we did. I think we ended at 11, right? Yeah. Okay, so question 12. What does it mean, Christ who is our life? Don't all speak up at one time. The crowd is too noisy.
I'll give you something to go off of, plus or minus, whatever. Christ provides our spiritual life through our standing in Him.
Good. Others?
Is that the way your question is worded?
What does Christ, who is our life? What does it mean?
That's
11. 12. I have 12. Yeah. That's okay. We'll cut you some slack.
Seems like I answer everything with Galatians 2:20.
Yeah. But go ahead and read it.
You're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Yep. I have these verses too. I'm just letting you come up with some of the verses. Any others? What does it mean? So we read that, I guess. Let's. What does that mean at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon? Well, okay, let me change that. Let's make that at 7:45 tonight. How about that? Well past the time. What does that mean?
Sunday night football.
Sunday night football. Okay. Monday, okay. Tuesday, there's no football. What does it mean? Yeah.
It seems like to watch the game with enjoyment and with a certain amount of detachment as well, because it's not my focus and identity in life and that I'm hinged on. It's Christ over here.
Good. You know, it kind of goes to what, you know, Monique was saying, that the question she had, what do we do when we're, you know, doing our, she had her hair done or changing a diaper, or, you know, I'm working on a well somewhere, you know, things like that. What does that mean? The same sort of thing. I think, I guess, kind of paraphrasing, would you say, it's basically, it's what we went with the Colossians 3, 12 through 17, where in all word and deed, you're focused on Christ. In all things you're focused on, means you can still watch the game, but realizing that if the Broncos lose, that really means nothing in the scheme of things. You know, the other is, if my political candidate that I've just voted for and think he's the greatest thing, and he loses, is that the end of the world for me? No. Even though I can get all wrapped up in this, it's, as you said, and I think you said, detached. Are we from here? No. Where is our life?
In Christ.
In Christ, in God. Remember, that was kind of the double thing? You know, we are in Christ, in God. How secure is that? So again, our life is, it's that, and like I said, I went through it in 12 through 17. Let me just go back up there real quick. Yeah, in verse 17, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Again, that's kind of the manifestation, but our life is in Christ. And so I want to kind of get back to that. What does that mean? Again, just
remember when you were saying that every heartbeat, every breath,
mm-hmm.
Every single thing that surrounds our life is sovereignly, you know, guided and by Him. I mean, He orchestrates everything, or all in all.
Yeah, I think, you know, I should say that, you know, for mine, the life, it because if you realize, and I, as I pray that, the every heartbeat, every breath is in His hands. Do I worry about things? It gives me a lot more peace, and he promises that the peace that surpasses all understanding. In trials, in different things, if you understand my life is His life, it gives me the ability to withstand what this world throws at me. My life is hid with Him and in God. And if you begin to the testing of our faith, remember it always comes back to faith. If you understand and by the Holy Spirit's conviction of these truths, all the other things, the rest, the peace, the joy, the comfort, what are the fruit of the Spirit? All those things. That's the life. So that's life in Christ. So I had a bunch of the verses. Who is our life? What does it mean? I went back to Romans 6, 3 through 8, kind of the beginning of it. Or do you not, beginning of verse 3 of Romans 6, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Again, just like this passage, death, resurrection, then the present, set your mind. Again, it goes through, we've been baptized into His death. Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Again, that's because we have been co-crucified, separated positionally from our old man, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Again, death first, then life. And our life is in Christ. We've been baptized into His death and raised positionally. In Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Again, think of these truths and again, the conviction through the Holy Spirit, what that means. Christ lives in me. It's not in the future, in me, present. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Again, what is the operative here? I live by faith. I'm amazed as I look through more and more scripture how much it is faith. When all our battles, all everything is related to faith. It's faith. And I'm just becoming more and more aware of that in all these things. As I said in my James verse that I quote all the time, you know, James 1, it's the testing of our faith that produces endurance. It's not the testing of me, per se. It's the testing of my faith. So, you know, one I've used for a long time. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Again, this is the Greek word kainos, which is new in kind, new in quality. It wasn't just that we are now souped up and ready to go in the old man, that we are able to do things in the old man. It was crucified, taken away. Now we're new creatures. Where? In Christ. Okay? So a brand new creature, not a rehabilitated or refurbished man. And I said, is this true now? Yeah. Yeah. Positionally, it's true of us now. It's kind of interesting. The Greek verb for the new things have come in this is in the perfect tense, which is past completed action with ongoing results. And then the tense for old things, the Adamic identification, is in the aorist tense, past or completed action. So again, the present tense is new creature in Christ. He is a new creature. So that's something that happened now. It's a continuous action that keeps on going. We're a new creature in Christ. Yeah.
So we can say that Christ is our life because He is the source and He is the sustainer of our new life.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I mean, as I say, every heartbeat, every breath, every He has our life right now. But our new life, it, you know, and that's why I said in the beginning of these verses, in whatever it is, 3, that we're, our life is hid in Christ, in God. So that's positionally where when God sees us, He sees us in His Son, seated right at His right hand. That's where He sees us now, positionally. So, you know, as you understand those truths, how does that manifest itself, and how does it impact your walk as you understand these truths? Your life is in Christ, who's hid in God, in the heavenlies. That's how God sees you right now. So when you're having a bad Monday, or the Broncos lose, or whatever, you know, does that mean anything?
I don't know, but I know Sunday, I'll be watching the Broncos today. But Sunday when they were making all that noise, you know, Seattle, and I thought, remember the Sabbath day, and this is holy, this is holy. And then the little kids, I was really so proud of my, my daughter-in-law who had been raised Catholic, and she's Christian. She's really bringing up the kids in the faith. But now they're playing sports, and they play on Sunday morning. So it really is I really think faith builds on faith, and these, you know, you if you lose them at this point, you don't.
You know, the thing is, and it's whether we meet on Sunday or not, does that I guess coming to church, do you get extra points for coming to church?
No, but I'm talking about little kids who are just learning.
I understand. They play on sports on Sunday.
Yeah.
As long as they're being taught the word and fellowshipping, I think, with believers, those, you know, the Acts 2:42, was it prayer, fellowship, teaching, and what's the fourth? Breaking bread. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, because the early church, if we look at the early church, did they meet only on Sundays?
No, every day.
Every day. Every time they broke bread, or they met at a house. So we have put it on a Sunday where it's convenient in our work week, mm-hmm. and everything like that. If that becomes more of a guiding factor than the word, then it's an issue. But, you know, playing on Sunday, as long as they're focused on the word and being taught.
And I'm thinking about it, the playing on Sunday morning and, you know, where they're going. And I just think, you're just a killjoy if you.
But the Saturday.
Yeah.
It's for the Jews.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm getting at, is that, you know, the Sabbath is not for us. And it's, you know, the early church met any time they fellowship together. They break bread. There's teaching on all days, all time. We, like I said, I go and I look at, and being in another place, you know, it's how do you show me in the scriptures where it says we're to meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, or we're, you know, all these different things, and it gets our traditions become either legal or scriptural.
Yeah, well, I do think so, that not that I'm any kind of person that's going to be out there fighting, but you know, just like how the stores have started staying open all day Sunday. Sunday used to really be a day of quiet and peace, and it was just different.
I think it is now, and I
do think it's supposed to be special.
And I appreciate, you know, what Chick-fil-A or whatever, they don't open on Sundays, and they let their, and a couple other do that too.
Yeah,
I think that's great. You know, it's just where our traditions become legal or scripture, and that's where those things are where I'd love to have, you know, and all our kids were that. Occasionally we'd have to have something where we'd be on a band trip, you know, do a marching band or something like that. But, again, it's just, the others, you can break bread or do anything wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. You know, even if you're at a soccer game and, you know, afterwards you can break bread anywhere you want. You know, and we had a lot of that with missionaries. They were, I think I may have told this story. This was a guy who died in the wool, old Plymouth Brethren.
Yeah.
You know, should be just locked in his ways and all that. He was out somewhere in, I forget where he was at, way out in Never Never Land. And they wanted to break bread. Well, they didn't have wine. They didn't have grape juice. And I think what they finally ended up using was, you know, I think they had a cracker and a Coke. And they basically, you know, broke bread, you know, basically remembered the Lord. And I thought, wow, that is really weird. But the heart attitude was to remember the Lord. That was what the heart attitude. It wasn't the emblems particularly. I mean, whether it's wine, whether it's grape juice, whether it's a cracker, whether it's a loaf of bread, it's, you know, it's us to remember the Lord. That's what that is coming together for. Yes?
How do you deal with the verse that says, don't forsake assembling together?
Again? Does that mean Sunday?
Well, the point is that if the people that I fellowship with meet on Sunday morning, then I have to make a decision to fellowship with them or play soccer.
But forsaking, does that mean Sundays?
It means to get together.
Yeah, but I, you know, what I say.
My point is if they only get together on Sunday morning, you know, am I going to? Well, I'm going to have five guys over at my house on Friday night, and that'll cover me. I don't think so.
Well, I look at it as, you know, with ours, with the tape ministries, those type of things, fellowship with people. I get to where it becomes a legal issue, a legal or tradition becomes scripture, that we have to meet on Sunday morning. And, I mean, we have, how many Bible studies do we have during the week?
Four or five.
Four or five. Yeah. So if you're going to those and you miss a Sunday.
Well, yeah. I guess my issue is that families who have kids that put them in sports, and really sports is more important than the church.
If you, one of my statements there was,
that's the issue.
If that's the issue, if that's more important than studying your word, then you have an issue. Yeah. And that's where I said, you know.
And I think this church does have a lot more of that meeting and home through the week than other churches do. But I just feel like that's where we lose the kids a lot of times.
I don't disagree with you in that I think it's better for us to assemble, but I don't want to make it a law, you know, or a scriptural, you know, it's scripture that we have to meet on Sundays, because I can't find that in the scripture. So, but as Mike said, what I said, is that if the sports become more of a master, you know, two masters, you can't serve two masters. If the sport, golf, football, whatever, work, you work every Sunday. I mean, I have to work a lot of times on Sundays when I'm in a, you know, drilling, and the way the schedule works, I have to work on a Sunday. I'm okay with that because I know, you know, I'm, again, trying to think of the Lord all those times, thinking on a Sunday. I miss the fellowship. I totally miss the fellowship. When I go on a trip, I miss the fellowship here. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I go to what I say is the Acts 2:42 is kind of the outline, but that was done daily or any time. And so, I agree.
I just think it's kind of all part of the whole drift in the country away from.
Oh, there are a lot of things that I think are drift.
So,
country's a drift.
Yeah, I mean, there are a whole lot of, you know, where we're going and all that. And you know, again, I just rest in the fact that God is in control of all that. Mm-hmm. You know, in some respects, if things are going downhill here, He knows that. Mm-hmm. You know, is it a wake-up call for us? Is it, you know, are we just being taken out of the picture? I rest in the fact He knows. And He's infinitely more qualified than I am to word or to design this. So, anyway, you know, it's just, that is a good question. I think that comes up. I just think we have to be sensitive to some of those, and you know, if it seems to be more of a master to them is sports, then it's, you know, you have to readjust. So, okay, others thoughts. All right, question 13. Look at Philippians 3:21, 1 John 3:2. What happens to a believer when Christ is revealed to him? So Philippians 20, I'm going to read 20 and 21 just to get context. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. So what from that one? So what happens to the believer when Christ is revealed to him? Lots of whispering.
We shall be like Him. Is that what?
Conformed with, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. So,
doesn't that happen in glorification? Though?
Yeah, you know, and this is actually Mike brought this up last week about when we're glorified, we're revealed. The verse that we say we're revealed. You know, I was listening to Chester McCauley about this, and he has an interesting perspective, and he brought up Romans 8:29 and 30 actually. For those, and it goes, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, past tense, He also called. These whom He also called, past tense, He also justified, past tense. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Aorist tense, all past. The He glorified, past tense. And His position was that we are glorified. And when you look in time, God sees it as a point. Our glorification is as sure as when we're revealed. The revealing is when we're revealed back here in the second coming. But the glory, He says, is a point. It's right now. It's a past tense. If you look at that, it's He has glorified us. So, you know, I get your thoughts. I didn't really get a chance to chat with you about that. But, you know,
I think these verses refer more to my body than it does to me, the person in Christ. That when the believer actually sees Christ, he's transformed physically and in another way into His very image, and He is already glorified. We're already positioned in Him, so I would agree with
that. Yeah, see, that, and that's what I was saying. When, you know, we're glorified the instant we're placed into Him, because He's glorified. But the revealing is when, you know, where the verses say that we'll be revealed with Him. We'll come back with Him in our glorified bodies. You know, in our, when we come back on the second coming. But right now, we're positionally glorified in Him.
Positionally, yeah.
Yeah, positionally.
Not
right.
Practically.
Yeah.
But final glorification.
Right. Yeah. But we are glorified. I mean, the point being, we are glorified. And that's what I was like. Now, we are, at this position, we are glorified. We're, because we're placed into Him. The verse that says we are revealed with Him is talking about when He comes back and the revealing. And it was with the Romans 1 that all of creation is waiting for our revealing. 8. So again, the revealing is coming back on the second coming, and the revealing to show Christ in His glorified body, and all of us will be with Him. But the point here was that we are glorified positionally right now.
Right.
So I just want to clear that up a little bit from last week.
Positionally.
Yeah, positionally, the way God sees us right now, because He sees us in Christ. And so, you know, we're glorified. And that's what I just want to clear up a little bit from last week about the difference between Christ being revealed, and that's back on the second coming. And we will come, He is in His glorified body coming back, and we will too at that point. We'll be revealed at that point also. Because we don't have the glorified body right now. I mean,
that's for sure.
Yeah. He tried to get His body a little better and a little higher.
So those words, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. Just in everyday speak.
Subject the exertion of power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. That one in Philippians 21.
Subject all things unto Himself. Yeah, it's at the end of 21.
Yeah. Does He have that power to subject all now?
Oh, sure.
He holds all things.
Sure He does. Yeah. So that's just saying He has the power to do all that.
Well, is it is he talking about your final glorification in heaven there, or what? I just don't know that.
I think this is, yeah, transforming. Yeah, correct me if this is, you know, conditional and positional. That positionally we are in him. Conditionally we are being transformed. So, and he has the power to do that. He has the power to place us into Christ, and he has the power to transform us.
And this is all hinged on when Christ will be revealed. Mm-hmm. And when he's revealed, like the Romans verse and the Philippians verse, he doesn't get revealed separate from us.
Right.
We don't get revealed separate from him. It happens at the same time.
At the second coming, yeah. When we're revealed.
Yeah.
And like I said, we'll be like him. Mm-hmm. We'll be with him.
And that Romans verse about the earth being subjected to vanity, it states that the earth is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Not, it doesn't say the glorification of Christ, the revealing of Christ. It says the revealing of the sons of God, which is the same event, but it's tied to the sons.
Return.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's cool.
Okay. And then let's go to the 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. How does that sit with you?
I don't know. Sounds good.
Sounds marvelous.
My question about that has always been, in the millennial kingdom, when we rule and reign with Christ, how are they going to be able to distinguish you?
We have jerseys.
From a Jewish saint in Jerusalem. How are they going to know that Russ is a son of God? How are they going to know?
He has a jersey that says son of God.
Yeah, it's got a sign.
Son of God.
No, it's going to. I mean, we're going to be functioning on the earth with the glory of Christ coming out of us, and everybody will see it.
They will know.
Everybody.
You know, that's an amazing thought. You know, but I like in this verse, we will be like him.
Yeah.
How does that floor you? We will be like him. Again, these are things by faith. Understand these things. We will be like him. Wow. We will be like the glorified Lord returning. My finite brain doesn't even comprehend that. But I believe it. I try and get a picture of that. It's just glorious. You know, to think about, we will return with him and we will be like him. Whew.
Will we know, like, friends, family, things like that? Is there anything that says in the Bible that we will know?
Do you have a verse on that one? Because I struggle with that one too. We have a lot of hymns that say that. but I struggle with that we will, you know, be, you know, knowing everybody.
Well, you have two issues here. Those who didn't believe in Christ during this age, who aren't going to be around during the millennial kingdom, so you won't run into them.
Right, yeah.
And all the other persons that were in this age of grace that came to Christ will all be just like Christ, and we'll know them.
Yeah, but is Mike in heaven?
Yeah.
Do I run into Mike? Do I run into Wanda? I really don't. I confess I don't know the answer to that one. I vacillate on that. Where yes, but then I also struggle to find a verse that really says we'll know that. Now, the way I justify that we will know people is the Mount Transfiguration.
Yeah,
could they identify them?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, which gives me peace of thinking that I'll see you all there and I'll be able to see you in your new bodies and know you and all that, is that in the instances where you know, the transfiguration, we know and we see and we can identify. So that to me is the only indication that I have that says we'll know people. Now, they're not in their glorified bodies. So
do you think we'll know what we've been saved from? Because Jesus, my understanding, he'll have the marks in his hand, so we would have to have an understanding of what transpired for us to be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as I said, the only man-made things in heaven are the nail holes and that. I'll have my answer. I don't think so. I mean, we'll just be in praise and just worshiping him. I think everything that we have on this earth will be passed on and not even a second thought.
What about in Revelations where those martyrs were under the... I forget what they were under, and they said, how long, O Lord, until, you know, we'll be...
Something about under the altar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the
I don't know which that verse.
Those are the martyrs.
Yeah,
the martyrs under the altar.
I'm sure they remembered how they were martyred.
And they were given white robes and told to wait a little longer.
Yeah, they wanted revenge.
So my personally is, you know, mine is, or my from Scripture, we're going to be looking at Christ. All this other is peripheral. I'm not going to be thinking about anything. About I'm going to worship him, and whether I realize that you know, I look at the nail holes and that's how I got here, you know, that only is going to stimulate me to more worship.
I think so.
The other thing is that at that point you're going to be the bride. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think the bride takes her eyes off the groom very often.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's it. I mean, we aren't even, I don't think, going to contemplate. And that's where I think, you know, how much are we going to be looking for friends up in heaven when we have the Lord right in front of us? I mean, that's where see, Juan, I really don't know the answer to that. I mean, I go back and forth. I vacillate. I fully admit that I vacillate on this. And that, am I looking to see, you know, my long-lost second-grade friend when I'm looking at the Lord? You know, so I vacillate both ways, but like I said, I see that in the Transfiguration, we can identify people. So,
yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three individual, yet they're all one, have exactly the same mindset.
Yeah.
Right. We're somehow drawn into that, and so, do I just see Christ in you? That, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but that you bring up a good point too. The three persons. Three distinct persons that are identifiable. They're all the same, but they're identifiable. Are we going to be like that? We're all distinct, but the same.
I do think that when the rapture happens, and then there's a 7-year period, then we come back to rule and reign with Christ. You know, Uncle Louie might still be here. Somebody I knew who wasn't a believer, they may have survived you know, the tribulation, and I think you'd recognize them.
Yeah. Yeah, that because it's back on earth and not in the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when Jesus was with the disciples and he said, "I won't drink of this cup again until I drink it with you in heaven."
Mm-hmm.
I think at least for the 12 disciples, it'll be like, "Hey, we're in heaven."
Yeah. I mean, through the 12, you know, or is that with all of us?
Yeah.
Juan, it's a great question, and I fully say that I really don't know the answer to that. I go both ways. You know, I can justify both answers, that we won't care, we won't know. But then again, there are things that say that, you know, we will identify people.
But if they're not there, then I think that would affect you.
Yeah, I think that's where, if you want me to come back.
That may be that you just... You have the mind of Christ, so you're...
You know, I guess the thing they would go against, and this, we're way off on a tangent, way off on a tangent. You know, I would say, you know, there's not a tear shed in heaven. If I'm worried about and thinking about the lost, that I'd be in tears, and that we don't have tears in heaven. So I think our focus is solely on Christ at that point. Now, whether, you know, I understand and look at all of who are believers there, but our focus is on him. We're unimpeded by that time. We don't have the sin nature dragging us around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we are so focused on this. Yeah. You know, it's the earthly guy that keeps dragging up these earthly things, you know. we aren't going to care, I don't think. When we step in a new body, new kind, and we're like him, our focus is right on him.
Thank you, God.
So, not my,
that's good.
You know, just my thoughts. Okay, so are we on 14? So that last John, 1 John 3:2. It was secondly will be just like him. So we'll be conformed, and then just like him. So how much will we be like him? we just answered that in 1 John. Are there other verses? Art, did you have something to show?
Oh, I just put down that we would be like him in his humanity, in his not in his deity, of course.
Yeah.
But in his glorified humanity.
In a new glorified body. We'll be just like him. And that's, you know, again, I go back to these verses, the 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. So, we'll be new. We're not going to be like this. My hips, my knees are not going to be a problem. You know? It's not a rehabilitated old man. And then, do you have other verses before I jump on some of mine that to answer the question, how much will it really be like him? Yeah, Jack.
Well, you know, I read that in my translation, we shall be like him. It says we shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yeah.
And that is where. That's part of when he is coming back the second time, and where you can see the likeness between you and the Lord is that he is your life.
And that's what Mike says. How are they going to identify us when we return? We'll be like him.
And you will know.
Yeah, there's no question, I think, at that point. When people identify us or see us, there's no question who we are. We're in Christ. We are like him. Glorified. Any others? I had a couple others that say about how we'll be like him.
There's not going to be any sin nature. We're going to be perfectly righteous. We're not going to have any doubts about who's there and who isn't there, because we will fully realize that he is an absolutely just God.
Yeah. Can you imagine not having a sin nature?
Wow.
Is that just a, you know, that's why the second greatest day of a believer's life is when he steps into eternity, because you shirk this old man gone, not dragging me down daily, not, you know, whispering and look over here. It's, you don't have that, you won't have that. Other verses I have: Romans 8:15-17. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. So, we're going to be children of God? And that's what I was just going to say. Are we that now?
Yes.
And, I mean, these are things that the battle of faith. Do you believe this? That you are a child of God right now. Adopted as son. Do you cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, to the God of the universe? You have that access right now. Daddy, not flowery words. I keep bringing that up, you know. Changed my life and my prayer life, and that when I realized I didn't have to be like those old brethren guys who, therefore, why art thou art, blue, 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 blah, blah. I never talked to my dad that way. I talked to my heavenly father intimately. Because that's what he wants me to do. I don't go before him with a lot of flowery words and trying to act pious. I go to him as a child. So, you know, go to him not as, you know, trying to be the greatest orator around. Go to him as daddy. The intimacy. That's what he wants. That's what he tells us. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And then I have, which is some of my favorite verses, which I always point you to, is John 17. And remember, this is the question, how are we going to be like Him? John 17, 22 through 23. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Whew. The glory which you have given to me, this is God and the Son talking with the Father. Glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. How do you feel about that one? Shared His glory, said you're going to be in this same as the three different persons of Godhead, that they may be just as we are one. We're going to be brought in just as they are without the deity. That unity, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. Whew. And that you love me as He loves us as much as He loved the Son. How does that arrive on 5 o'clock on a Friday? Yeah.
But I think all that's true now.
It is. That's the point. That's the whole point. Our battle of faith is to believe this, that it's true right now. Positionally, that's how we are. And as our position, condition should start moving towards our condition should point to our position. As we understand these things, it's amazing. You know, if you truly start by faith understanding these truths, I can't help but the Spirit will convict and convince you of these things. It will change you. And then the 1 John 3:2 verse that we had, beloved, now we are children of God and has not appeared as yet, we will be what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Again, we will be like Him. And Colossians 3:3, again, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Amazing truths. Amazing truths. All that we have positionally right now, conditionally, how that makes us, how if we are convicted and convinced of these things by the Holy Spirit, it changes you. It can't but help to do that in your walk. All right. Anything else? Otherwise, we're about ready for the second bell. Any thoughts? I'm going to close early. Michael, it's a little tough on his heart to do that, but I'm afraid that may be a little rough for you, but we'll go ahead and we'll close. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, just the awesome ability that we can come before you and call you Daddy. And that's what you want us to do, is have that intimacy with you, that we don't have to come with all crazy words, but we come intimately with a relationship as a father and a son. And we just rest in that fact, and gives us great comfort, peace, and rest, joy, all those things. As we realize that we will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And Father, we just give you thanks for all these truths and what it means that positionally we are hid in your Son, in you right now, positionally. And what peace that gives us, what security that gives us. And no matter what the world throws at us or what's going on, we know that our life is hid in Christ, in you. And we just, again, thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you, again, that everything you do is solely predicated on the finished work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. And what that means to us, positionally and conditionally. We thank you just for all the truths that you have for us in Scripture and these verses that, again, we will be like you. And when you are revealed at your second coming, we will be with you and we will be like you. And that is just an amazing thought. So, Father, we just thank you again for all these truths that you have for us. And, again, we thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who convicts us and convinces us of these things. Father, we just, again, pray for the next service, again, that all that is said and done will honor and glorify you. And we just thank you for all these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.